this Sunday is 5 and 5. I've already said that. We love these Sundays. It's giving people where we've identified giftings of teachings on their life an opportunity to share with you. It's the best Sunday. I love it. So here we go. Are we going to keep the same order? Should we switch it up? Oh, okay. Andrea says we must switch it up. So we're going to start with Amy.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Amy, for those of you who don't know me. So when I got this message that I need to prepare a word, I was like, Lord, I have to speak about you in 5 minutes. How am I going to do this? So I'm going to be talking mostly from Matthew chapter 27 and Matthew chapter 28. So the title of the message today is Go Back to the Basics, which is going back to the gospel, to what he did on the cross, that empty tomb, the resurrection, going back and adding that to our foundation after this crazy year, and just keep adding that. And actually grasping, even though in the Bible it says that the human mind cannot fully grasp this, but grasping the volume and the weight and the depth of his love and adding that into our foundation. So the meaning of basics is not basic, but the simplest and most important facts, ideas, or things connected with something. So going back to our foundation, assessing it, and truly adding God's love into our foundation, yeah. So I'm starting with, so I'm not going to be reading the actual scriptures, I'm going to be explaining it. So I'm starting with, first we know Jesus came, he was born, and he did this 30 years or so of ministry, and he loved on people. He was mocked, he was hated, but he just kept loving and just pouring out his love. And I thought to myself, if the Lord asked me to come and do that for 30 years, and then knowing what I would meet at my end, would I do that with the same attitude and love and that he did it with? So I'm starting with chapter Matthew 27, verse 21. So Jesus showing up for us, showing up for Jesus in a world that hates him. So this is when he was on trial and they gave Barabbas instead of Jesus, and Barabbas was a murderer in a rebellion. Jesus agreed with the crowd. He wanted to give himself up instead of Barabbas. And it said, crowds are fickle if they love Jesus on a Sunday because they thought he was going to just flow out with his kingdom. They could easily hate him on the Friday. With this power appeared broken in the face of a mass uprising against Jesus. So his friends were afraid to speak up in this time. Faced with a clear choice, the people chose Barabbas, a revolutionary and murderer, over the Son of God. Faced with the same choice today, people are still choosing Barabbas. They would rather have the tangible force of human power rather than the salvation offered by the Son of God. And that was just, wait, are we being, just showing up for Jesus in a world that absolutely hates him? So Matthew 27, verse 34, the wine was offered to Jesus to help him deaden his pain, but Jesus refused. He would suffer fully conscious and clear, with a clear mind. So this is just demonstrating his love again for us, the depth of how deep his love goes. Then in Matthew 27, verse 46, we see the phrase where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this was confusing to me. Why is he saying that the Lord has forsaken him? But it's actually a deeper expression of the anguish that he felt when he took on the sins of the world, and this separated from his Father. The physical agony was horrible, but even worse than the period of spiritual separation from God. Jesus suffered a double death for us. He took on our sins before we were even born, and he took on not just that physical pain of being on that cross, being whipped, being mocked, being spat on, just treated like an absolute criminal when he was sinless. He took on that spiritual separation that we didn't have to feel, that complete agony from separating from God and his love. I mean, that is so much worse than that physical pain. Then we're going to move on to the resurrection, and there's five reasons why Jesus' resurrection is the key to the Christian faith. Number one, just as he said, Jesus rose from the dead, we can be confident, therefore, that he will accomplish all his promises. Two, Jesus, the bodily resurrection, shows us that the living Christ is ruler, God's eternal kingdom, not a false prophet or imposter. Number three, we can be certain of our resurrection because he was resurrected. Death is not the end. There is future. There's a future life. And four, the power that Jesus brought back to life is available to us and the spiritually dead. Five, the resurrection is the basis for the church to witness to the world. So lastly, he leaves us with a command. This is one of the main commands that we really need to just focus on instead of focusing on our success, our career, which is amazing, which focusing on friends and family, which is amazing. Having this as our foundation. That Matthew 28 verse 18, God gave Jesus the authority over heaven and earth. On the basis of that authority, Jesus told his disciples, go out and make more disciples as they preached, baptized and taught with the same authority. Jesus still commands us to tell others the good news and make disciples for his kingdom. So this, and make disciples, it is not an option, but it is a command that Jesus left when he was erected. One of the last things he said on this earth was a command to us to go out and make disciples. So we can't all be evangelists, but we all have received gifts that we can help to fulfill this command. So as much as we struggle with this year has been crazy with ups and downs and everything, but focus mainly going back to the Jesus, going back to the depth and the weight of his love, that before we were born, he took on that sin for us, that we might follow him, that we might receive eternal love, that we might receive salvation. And that is just amazing. Jesus is just amazing. That is my word. Thank you, everyone. Good. Woo! Mike's a bit sweaty.
It's all good.
Passing the baton.
Okay, taxi.
I need to get back to my notes. Now I'm in Amy's notes. Such good, so good. And I just want to firstly honor Pastor Natalie and Pastor CJ in his absence of giving us five the opportunity to represent you guys on the stage. So thank you guys so much for that. Then I'm going to take you guys to Ephesians 4, verse 13, Sarah, not 12, 13 to 16. My first point before we start is that this chapter, this passage of scripture is attainable. It is something that we can do. Okay, I'm going to read it. It's beautiful. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and our knowledge of God's Son, that we will become mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us up with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like our Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes us, the whole body, fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I just love reading this passage. My belong group knows I've been on Ephesians for so long, and I bubble up when I read Ephesians because it's so beautiful, and it shows how we as a church can really work in unity and grow together. So in this world we are called to be Christians, meaning Christ-like, and in this world we find two Christs. One, the true biblical Christ, the one that is revealed to us in the Bible, and secondly, a false one that they speak about here. Number three, we need to know the scripture. Hosea 4 verse 6 speaks about my people perish because they lack knowledge. They don't know me. Another version says they are destroyed because they don't know me. I don't want to be part of that. I want to be someone that knows God, that knows him dearly, knows him intimately, and not be destroyed, but have eternal life through him. As Amy said, the next point is number four, a body that builds. Wait, how do I identify the real Christ? People that study false banknotes and identify false banknotes, the thing about that is they don't study all the different false notes. They don't study all the different ways that it is not the true banknote, but instead they put all their focus and all their efforts into studying and knowing the truth, the normal banknote. And I think that's just a thing like you've got this. Use it. This is the truth. It's the way. It's the life. Okay. Now a body that builds. We need to pick up our cross. We need to deny ourselves. I want you guys to picture a body of Christ, a church that is so obsessed with helping their neighbor, that is so obsessed with loving the people around them that they even forget about their own worries. I can go to Jade and be like, listen, yeah, I need help with A and B. And he'd be like, yeah, dude, anytime. I can go to Andre and be like, dude, I'm struggling with scripture. Can you help me reveal the truth? Dude, any day. So that is what that God wants from the church, is for us to grow together and help one another and be the builders of one another as iron sharpens iron, healthy and growing, full of love. And then number 5. Is verse 27. It's so easy for me to find Ephesians 4 because it's marked in my Bible. Verse 27. And I'm reading out of the Amplified because the Amplified explains it so well. And do not give the devil an opportunity. And it goes on, to lead you into sin. Don't give him an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or by harboring resentment or by cultivating bitterness. We need to stop the bitterness in our hearts and instead fill it with love. The church bitterness, the church hate, the grudges we keep from our past churches or our past families, or it needs to stop. We need to turn away from bitterness and into the root of love. We need to go from unforgiveness into forgiveness. We need to set ourselves free from that pain and that hurt. Thank you guys so much.
Hi everyone, I am Malmi de Beer, for those who I haven't met yet, and I have the incredible privilege to just share a few verses and just share a message with you guys. So the title of my message, if you want to call it a title, is Faith Works by Love, and it's Galatians 5 verse 6. I led you there from the Wolof and he slew it when I said 16, so this need, and I'm busy being a good steward, so I want to tire myself. Okay, let's go. Okay, so Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith works by love. The first portion of the scripture I want to speak about is when it says by love. So this is the love of God that it like speaks about. I want to read from 1 John 4, verse 4 to 19. So the entire passage is beautiful about the love of God, but I'm going to bark by verse 10. So it says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want to speak to some people maybe this morning. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, yo, Mal, I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I'm worthy to be loved by God because this month I haven't given my full tithe. I didn't go to yesterday's prayer. My mind wasn't actually on God. It was a bit on the chicken that's in the oven and I'm stressing about that. And you have this list and maybe you think, yo, this week someone drove in front of me and I sweared and all these things. And you're listing things about why you don't feel worthy to be loved by God. But our relationship with God cannot be based on our love for him. It's based on his love for us. Yes, all these things that we have in church is an excellent place. It's excellent. It's principles in the Bible and it's there for a reason to help us. But our relationship cannot be based on that works. Okay? So verse 15 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. That word abides mean in enduring presence. The love of God shouldn't just be something that we visit once, you know, once a month when it's Christmas and we get reminded about that, or when it's Easter, or when we do communion in church, or maybe you've heard once when you were in children's school about John 3 verse 16. The love of God is something that you've which base your family on. It's something that you build your finances on. It's something that you raise your children up in. It's something that you prepare for when you prepare to get married. The love of God is the foundation where we should build everything up on. Because why? Faith works by love. That's why. Okay? So 1 John 3 verse 1 in the NIV, if I didn't say it in the first service, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And I love this. And that is what we are. I felt like when John said that, he had a bit of an attitude. He was like, when you get a revelation of the love of God and the enemy tries to attack you, you're like, do you know who I am? I am a children of God. How dare you, devil? How dare you attack my finances? How dare you attack my healing? How dare you bring poverty around me? Do you know who I am? It gives you a bit of, it stirs up the faith inside of you. So when the Lord leads you to give you an our business idea, you're like, yes, Lord, if this is birthed in love, so I'm going to be obedient. I heard a thing when I was reading, when we were doing our teachings, and the lady mentioned, and she said, obedience is like our love making to the Lord. It's like our reaction towards his intimacy that he shows us. And we say, yes, Lord, I react to you out of a place of obedience. And then also it stirs up faith inside of you because you know, you start to realize who God is. You start to realize who you are, and this will stir up faith inside of you. And then in closing, Song of Solomon 2 verse 4 says, he brought me to the banquet house and his banner over me was love. A quick, just in a history. So when the Roman people, when they went to go and fight, they would have, some people would like walk in front of the army and they would have like a list. So they would have a banner and this would literally like list all the other places that they already like defeated because they didn't have news and articles and stuff like that, Facebook. So this would help as a tactic to strike fear in their opponents. So basically they already win them because they're already like afraid without even like winning the fight, right? And that is what the scripture is when it says, when we just sang Jehovah Nissi, that means the Lord God, my banner. So his banner over me is love. So when the enemy looks at you, he also sees the cross. He sees the victory. He sees that he raised from the dead. So then what we should do, we should come in alignment with that and heed under that and be like, Lord, you love me. So I can just stand in that love. It's enough for me because you fight for me. You fight on my behalf. And then through this year, I really asked the Lord to say, Lord, to come and reveal to me how much he loves me through rainbows. And I have seen rainbows on wimpy screens. I've seen rainbows on people's t-shirts, on a car. I mean, who puts a rainbow on a car? But it was there. And in the sky. And it really like, it revolutionized my love and my relationship with the Lord because it was like, wow, the Lord of the universe, he loves me and he sees me and he will go beyond and beyond on a daily basis to remind me how much he loves me. And I wanna challenge you to do that the same in this year. Really ask the Holy Spirit daily, Lord, will you show me how much you love me and see how that transforms your life. Thank you.
In 2013, two major events happened in the world. On the 22nd of July, an entire hospital wing had been closed off for the birth of a baby boy. He wasn't just born in a ward or a small theater. He was born in the wing of a hospital with the best medical team that could possibly be there. That boy is third in line for the throne of England. Prince George will probably be king one day. But in contrast, Jesus came and was born in a stable with no medical team and put in a manger. No fanfare, no publicity, no You magazine, not on Twitter or Instagram. That was how Jesus was born. In that same year, December the 15th, the world arrived in South Africa to give a send-off to a great statesman that same year. Madiba went home and the world sent him off because he was such a great man. But in contrast, Jesus died like a criminal. He was put in a tomb. The tomb was sealed and they put a guard there so that his disciples couldn't get to his body. There was no time to wrap him and anoint him and take great care of him. We're going to read Philippians 2, please, from verses 6 to 11, which was actually a poem that was written by Paul when he was at the Sea of Galilee. He was lying in a hammock, sipping cocktails, and he wrote this beautiful poem to Jesus. Actually, no, he was in prison when he wrote this. I'm going to read it from the CEV. Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God and even died on a cross. Then God gave Christ the highest place and honored his name above all others. So that at the name of Jesus, everyone will bow down, those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And to the glory of God the Father, everyone will openly agree, Jesus Christ is Lord. Theologian N.T. Wright explains how this poem is made up of three stanzas which he calls the downward journey of love from heaven to earth. Jesus dying on the cross, and then three stanzas of glorification from death to life, eternal life, the glorification of Jesus. He continues that this poem is central to Philippians, but it's also to our Christian doctrine. It's absolutely central. The Jews lived under Roman occupation when this was written. Caesar was considered divine. There was no name greater than Caesar's. And Acts 17:7 actually says the Christians were accused of declaring a Lord other than Caesar. If Caesar came down the road, you bow your knee to him. You don't speak of any other Lord but him. So the incredible boldness of the Christians at the time and Paul to put this in writing. How many of us are warned? Don't put stuff in writing, eh? Because it can be used against you. So why is this poem so important for us today? Because Jesus emptied himself of all privileges. I love that I've watched a few of them, Undercover Boss. You know, when the boss leaves his air-conditioned office on the 20th tower and he goes and he becomes like one of the workers to experience what they go through. In some ways, Jesus did that. Emptied himself of all privileges. He was born not in the wing of a hospital, but in a stable. He grew up as a human. He went through what we all go through, especially as teens, hey? Trying to find our way through life. And Jesus went through all of that. He wasn't served by many servants like Prince George. He didn't have an Instagram page. And I was saying earlier, I think when Prince George starts his Instagram page, he's going to instantly have millions of followers. He grew up and he didn't come to exploit. He didn't come to take. He didn't come to deceive. He didn't come for a throne or a palace. He didn't come to enrich himself. He was obedient even to death. Death on a cross. That crucifixion was a deterrent to anyone who would try and defy Caesar or Rome. God showed his ultimate love for sinful man. He didn't send another. He didn't pay with a check. He didn't pay with silver or gold. And Jesus was a willing sacrifice. Death didn't call the shots. Man didn't make the final decision, even though it seemed that way. It seemed all over when he died. It seemed that death had won. Reminds me a little bit of Joseph. Joseph, the favored son, betrayed by his brothers, sold as a slave, lands up in prison, in a dungeon, and it seemed like it was all over until God brought promotion. And it says in Genesis 50, verse 20 from the NLT, Joseph talking to his brothers, he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." And then in the poem, verses 9 to 11, Paul talks about resurrection. Death is conquered. Jesus is glorified, alive forevermore for you and I. We bow our knee to him, not because we forced, not because he's got a gun to our head. We confess his name that he's Lord, not because he's forcing us, but because it's an expression of what he's done for us. And finally, we grow in him. We don't grow beyond him. We don't mature outside of him. We mature in him and we grow in him. Jesus is our all-sufficient one.
Two stories. When you ask who's going to be first, you know, something came to mind. There's a story about old Mike. They ask him, you know, who was first, the chicken or the egg? And he had a thought and he said, oh, ek nie eens geweet hulle het gehardloop nie. So, I don't know who. But, hopefully the Afrikaans guys get it. Then another one. I was, with die vingers geslaan, because I was too long, you know. So the definition of an optimist is somebody that believes a preacher if you say, I'm not going to be long. Always a privilege to share the word, always a privilege to be excited about the word. And I just want to grab something about each one of the other guys that shared. And first I want to give a word to each one of you. Fire! Jy krak so opgewonde as jy deel en as just vuur. Ek sien net vuur en vuur en vuur. I see truth and the desire to share truth. Kurt, as a boldness. Boldness wat groei en ek is so. Ek is excited om my eendag te sê, daai man het ek geken. Ek het daai ou geken. Waar's Amy kruip sy weg. Yeah, it's just wisdom beyond your years. And it's just going to grow. Just be faithful in the word and just let it flow. Vader, dank jy vir die voorreg om die woord te kan deel, Here. En dank jy vir die voorreg om sommer net opgewonde te wees op dit wat jy in en deur ons kan doen. Ek bid dit en verklaar dit in die naam van Jesus Christus. Amen. 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 In Hebrews 11 is this chapter that's literally the wall of fame. All the who's who of the Bible been put together over a time period of more than 3,000 years. And it's literally just the big names that got there, you know, the guys that we thought, you know, did awesome things like Elisha. I mean, this guy was dead. Elijah, I mean, he called fire down. I mean, but their name was not there. Only about 80 names over a time period of 3,000 years were mentioned. And then a couple of guys that we thought is big names, you know, like David, Samuel. I mean, Samuel was the first guy that the Bible said everything Samuel said, God made came to pass. I mean, great stuff, but nothing about what Samuel did was recorded. Just his name was mentioned in one sentence. But then there's these guys, about 10 of them, that was mentioned what they did. And I just want to share something that's in my heart about what I believe is faith. Now, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. Faith is the substance. So it's jy bewyse. You got proof that nobody else got. That stuff that's unseen for somebody else, you see. So to have faith literally mean I can see stuff beyond what's normal for the people around me. And I want to challenge you today to start seeing and start believing. Mel said something and I want to tap into that and also Kurt's liefde for Ephesians. I love Ephesians. It's just a book that opened up a lot. Ephesians 3 from verse 18. So it just explained the love of God for us. You know, it's so wide. You know, it's in more dimensions than what we actually can understand and can see, because it's so wide, it's so high, it's so deep. And what's the onion? The love of God is just so much wider and broader and deeper and higher, I say, that what we can imagine. And then it says something interesting. So that what God can do for you is more than what you can ask and even thinking of asking for. So God is not limited to what you are asking. But you limit yourself. What God can do for you is much more than even what you can think you might be able to ask Him for. Okay, so now we're back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11 verse 21 is about Jacob. Now Jacob, incredible human being, he had this wonderful things that he did through his life. He cheated his brother out of the inheritance of the blessing. You know, he cheated his dad. Actually, his uncle got him in for one. But, you know, he worked through that. Actually got two wives. Later on, he gets some concubines. But, I mean, resourceful guy. And even up today, Israel is known by his name. All the Jews refer to themselves as one of the sons of Jacob. Now, of all the things that Jacob did, all the wonderful things that he did in his life, one thing is recorded about what make him a man of faith. And Hebrews 11 verse 21 says, because Jacob believed, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. And this had me for many years. I mean, there might have been bigger things. I mean, he blessed Judah. And out of Judah, our king was born. Why is this recorded? You know, it just sounds something. Hy het net 'n gewone dingetjie voor hy doodgegaan het, het die twee laities gebless. After pondering it for some time, I believe this is what opened up for me, and I want to share it with you. And please never believe Jan, gaan soek vir jouself. Just if you go into the word, ask God, what is this meaning and what is the meaning for you and in your life. So I believe this chap, once they told him his son is gone, got evidence that, you know, here's the mooi baadjie, vol bloed. So this proof of his son's death, I believe Jacob held on in his heart. He said, one day, I'm not even going to only see my son, but I will see his children. And he held on to this promise, and that's why it's recorded. Maybe, I don't know, 25 years, 30 years pass between he's receiving the message up to the point where he's blessing both the sons of Joseph. Hold on to your dream. Even though somebody else may think, it's over, it's verby. A little for you, bewijse laat het verby is. There might be evidence that the dream and the things that you feel cherish and close to your heart, it's over, it's past time. Hold on to the dream. The things that God can do for you is much more than what you ask and even thinking of asking for. And now I'm going to close with this one. In Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desire. I love a lot of scriptures. But John 14 to 16 is like this little team talk Jesus got with his disciples just before the crucifixion. And in John 16, verse 24, he said, ask in my name and you will receive so that your joy will be fulfilled. There's something when we really ask God and trusting Him for, that in itself will bring a fulfillment of joy in our hearts. So delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you your heart desire. If there's no heart desire, hoe kan jy jouself bly en verbly in die Here? Get yourself to a place in this new year that you, Derek, sit hom maar bo, broer. Derek, sit hom maar bo, droom, gaan vir hom. whatever is the desire, bring it to the Lord, put it in front of Him. People will say, "Yo, take this away." It's on them, it's not on you. Yes. Get your hope up, get your dreams up. Droom om, see. And I literally want to see this. I see a Jacob maybe sitting, leaning on his walking stick. I said, one day I will lean on this walking stick and I will lay my hands of my son's sons and I will bless them. Don't lose vision of your dream. Don't lose vision of the goodness of God. He's pure. He's holy. We sang this today and we declare that He is Jehovah Nissi. He's our banner. He's the God that protects us. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides for us. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. And we can go on and on, but it literally means it's impossible for the God of provision to be where there's no nothing, where there's lack. So if there's lack, declare that my God is my provider. If there's sickness, declare that my God is my healer. If there's fear, declare that my God is Jehovah Shalom. Whatever is your dream, start visualizing your dream, focusing on the dream, and believing that it's yours because God is good and faith is only born in love. God bless. God bless.